Before I went there for the first time, about all I knew about Bognor Regis, beyond how to spell it, was that some British monarch at some uncertain point in the past, in a moment of deathbed acerbity, called out the words, Bugga Bognor, just before expiring. Though which monarch it was and why his parting wish on earth was to see a medium-sized English coastal resort sodomized are questions I could not answer. The monarch, I have since learned, was King George V, and the story is that in 1929 he traveled to Bognor on the advice of his physician, Lord Dawson of Penn, who proposed that a spell of fresh sea air might help him recover from a serious lung complaint. That Dawson could think of no better treatment than a change of scene is perhaps a reflection of his most outstanding characteristic as a doctor, incompetence. Dawson was, in fact, so celebrated for medical ineptitude that a ditty was composed in his honor. It went, Lord Dawson of Penn has killed lots of men, so that's why we sing God Save the King. The king chose Bognor not because he held any special affection for it, but because a rich chum of his, named Sir Arthur de Cross, had a mansion there called Craigwell House, which he offered to the king for his private use. Craigwell was, by all accounts, an ugly and uncomfortable retreat, and the king liked nothing about it. But the sea air did do him good, and after a few months he was well enough to return to London. If he left with any fond memories of Bognor, he didn't relate them. 6 years later, when the king relapsed and now lay dying, Dawson blandly assured him that soon he would be well enough to return to Bognor for another holiday. Bugga Bognor, the king reportedly said, and thereupon died. The story is nearly always dismissed as fiction, but one of George V's biographers, Kenneth Rose, maintains that it could be true, and that it certainly would not have been out of character. Because of the king's short residency, Bognor petitioned to have the word Regis added to its title, and in 1929 this was granted, so that interestingly its supreme elevation and onset of terminal decline date from almost precisely the same moment. Like so much of coastal Britain, Bognor has seen better days. Once upon a time, happy, well-dressed throngs flocked to the town for carefree weekends. Bognor had a Theatre Royal, a grand pavilion with what was said to be the finest dance floor in the south of England, and a much esteemed, if not very accurately named, Kurzel, where no one was cured of anything but patrons could roller skate to the music of a resident orchestra, and afterwards dine beneath giant palms. All that is distant history now. The pier at Bognor survives, but barely. Once, it was 1,000 feet long, but various owners took to lopping lengths off it, following fires or storm damage, so that today it is just a stub 300 feet long that doesn't quite reach the sea. For years, Bognor had an annual Birdman competition, in which competitors tried to get airborne from the pier end using various homemade contraptions. Bicycles with rockets strapped to the sides and that sort of thing. Invariably, the competitors would travel an amusingly short distance and splash into the water, to the delight of the watching crowds. But eventually, the shortened pier meant that they were crash-landing on sand and shingle in a way that was more alarming than amusing. The competition was cancelled in 2014 and appears now to have moved permanently a few miles down the coast to Worthing, where the prizes are bigger and the pier actually stands over water. In an effort to reverse Bognor's long, gentle decline, in 2005, Arran District Council formed the Bognor Regis Regeneration Task Force with the goal of bringing £500 million of investment to the town. As it became clear that nothing on that scale would ever be forthcoming, the target was quietly reduced first to £100 million, and then to £25 million. These also proved too ambitious. Eventually it was decided that a more realistic target was a sum of about zero. When it was realized that that goal had already been reached, the task force was wound up, its work completed. Now, as far as I could tell, all the authorities are doing for Bognor is just keeping it ticking over like a patient on life support. But for all that, Bognor isn't such a bad place. It has a long beach with a curving concrete promenade, and a town center that is compact and tidy, if not thriving. Just inland from the sea is a sylvan retreat called Hotham Park, with winding paths, a small boating pond, and a toy railway. But that, it must be said, is about it. If you do a web search for things to do in Bognor, Hotham Park is the first thing that comes up. The second suggested attraction is a shop selling mobility scooters. I walked down to the seafront. A good number of people were ambling along, enjoying the sunshine. We were about to have a lovely summer, and even now, at 10:30 in the morning, you could see that this day was going to be, by English standards, a scorcher. My original plan was to stroll west along the front to Craigwell to see where the king had stayed, but that hope was dashed when I learned that Craigwell was torn down in 1939, and that today the site is lost somewhere beneath a housing estate.